Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we are here to recap the Bulls' second straight loss coming out of the All-Star break, 101-90 against Jimmy Butler's Miami Heat. Before we do that, be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcast needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet, following Goose at Bulls Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you already know what to do. You can listen to us, give us a 5-star rating and review because that shit's cool and tough. Goose, we lost again, man.
Yeah, and tonight really sucks because it almost felt like a must win. I get where we were technically almost tied for the AC. The Hawks had just played more games to this point. Now we're not tied. Now we're definitely like a legitimate 11th seed. So tonight sucked. Now we're probably closer to the top five of the lottery than we are to the, you know, sixth seed in the playoffs. And that's not a good feeling for a team whose goal is to get some kind of experience. And we've talked about it the last few shows. They continue to play this way. We're probably looking more like a seller than a buyer or even a just let's ride this out.
Yeah, you know, the first half, I refuse to let myself get upset because I have to keep the same energy from the first podcast we did this, you know, getting into the season to now. Growing pains we knew were going to happen, you know, kind of seeing where we're at, we kind of knew was going to happen. Playing a couple good teams to start the second half, even though albeit Simmons and Embiid didn't play last night, which you and I touched on quite a few times, but it looked like we came out lackadaisical. Like, you know, we just did not come out in a way where you thought, I mean, goddamn, you think they play harder because they're in a playoff race, you know? I mean, right? Like, that's what you'd think yesterday. Then today, they come out, and it's just more of the same, and it's the turnovers. And
do we have six or seven in the first again?
I believe it was seven. I know for sure it was six. I wasn't taking notes. I usually take notes on my phone. I wasn't taking notes tonight even during the first half. I just wasn't writing anything down. I was just kind of watching and, you know, floating around between all the other shit that's going on, how many games are on. But they were just not taking care of the ball. And then on top of that, the wing defense sucked. And so did the, once again, the interior defense was an issue. And a lot of that tonight was also Lauri Markkanen. Not a lot of fucking hustle from him there. And that is what I had tweeted this out. If you want to get that money that he wants, you have to be more than a one-trick pony. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not ready to give up and say it's not who he is. He's coming back from an injury. It was a shoulder injury. Maybe he's not trying to push himself. That's why I was lenient on Wendell when he battled injury. But it just goes to both of them at this point. I'm not going to pick which one keeps fucking up and which one isn't fucking up. This isn't winning basketball. And I'm sorry. If he's going to play like that and score 20, but let up, you know, fucking 30 or whatever. And the same with Wendell, we can't keep him on the floor for more than 22 minutes tonight. You know, that it's an issue. It is an issue, no matter what narrative you want to fucking play.
Tonight, I can't applaud Lowry. 20 points was not a very efficient 20 points like last night's 8 of 11 shooting and 7 of 7 3-point. I can't give Lowry shit at all last night. He's an offensive player. If you're expecting Lowry to be a two-way player at this point, that's probably your own problem.
What about effort, though? What about effort, with Lowry? That's what I wanted to bring up to you because I know you're a guy that kind of what did Stacey always say, like hard hat and lunch pail, right? Like, and I know Lowry's not that guy, but I mean Jesus Christ! I mean,
the issue for Lowry is extra effort on the defensive end just gets him put on skates on the perimeter. He's not a post player, and that tends to be what I come back to when people, well, he's a 7-footer who doesn't rebound. Well, where does he play the majority of the time on the defensive end of the floor? He's guarding 3-4s, guys on the perimeter. Tonight against Miami, we had KZ Akpala playing the 5 and Kelly Olynyk at the 4. So the Heat had a really weird rotation tonight without Bam Adebayo. And I really would have liked to see Billy go to the Thad, Lowry, Pat lineup earlier. Lowry at the five tonight actually looks effective. Kelly Olynyk might overpower him on some plays, but that's a matchup you can get away with putting Lowry at the five. You can't do that when Bam's there or you got Embiid or a real center on the other end, but that would be a matchup that you could take advantage of. And I think towards the end of the second and then a little bit in the fourth, it didn't work out in the fourth. Towards the end of the second, it did. We saw that, but Wendell, I mean, what did he have? 2 points?
He had 22 minutes tonight, 1 for 5 from the field, 2
for 2. He did have 9 boards and 3 assists.
Yeah. No turnovers for Wendell either. I mean, I felt that he got fucked a couple times on rotations that were missed. I know this is going to be funny just because it's one rebound, but when the Bulls were it was coming off of a possession where Lowry had let up an offensive rebound. The next possession down the floor, Wendell inserted himself to get interior position where he made sure that fucking board was his. And that I mean, honest to God, I mean, I know that's his position. That's what he should be doing, but it was nice to see somebody like, okay, dude, go ahead and like climb all over my back. I'm getting this ball. And, you know, it was just, you know, but again, he, in the 22 minutes he played, it was just whatever, you know, I mean, it's just, brutal, just fucking brutal.
No, I mean, I can't really get on P. Will. I'm just glad he escaped this game without an injury. But this is back-to-back games where he's had less than 5 points and less than 3 rebounds.
Offensively, they just seem to not be in sync, dude.
I mean, but why? I mean, P. Will's been given more offensive responsibility since Lowry's come back. It's not like he's had it taken away. He's got more initiating opportunities. He's getting more playmaking, you know. So I just... Where is the drop off there? It's not like Lowry's taking his touches away from him.
No, I think that especially with that lineup tonight, like how you brought up like Olynyk's playing the four and Apollo's playing the five, and look at up and down this Heat roster in the box score. They could literally fucking switch everything and there's a dog defending you.
Well, but like that's why I keep trying to push this Lowry at a five narrative, and people seem to think that I'm crazy. But I, at the same time, it's usually the people that are pushing a Wendell Carter Jr. at a power forward narrative. I guess we just don't see eye to eye there. But Lowry at the five, as long as it's a situational lineup that's on the floor and you're not playing a legitimate center that's just going to annihilate Lowry like we saw Howard put him in the basket the other night, Lowry at the five works for you. Defensively, you get him off the perimeter. You get him in the post instead of getting cooked on the perimeter. When he is in a pick and roll as the big man in the pick and roll instead of the guy, you know, he's better at switching. He's more comfortable in that position. And then on the offensive end, you have Thad down in the post and you have Lowry out on the perimeter. So it just works better that way, but you can only do it situationally because Lowry will get put in the basket by guys like Dwight Howard. And obviously Billy's still tinkering with that kind of stuff, but if how they finish the fourth tonight with Lowry at the five for the most of the time and no Wendell Carter Jr., if that's any indication, at least tonight, situationally, that's how Billy felt more comfortable. So what does that mean for Wendell? I mean, he had a much better game rebounding tonight, and similar how you can't harp on Lowry for being crap on defense when you kind of expect that. I can't be hard on Wendell when he's crap on offense, but the rebounding, the energy and the defense have to be there for me to be okay with that. And tonight, even with, you know, 4 points, I do feel 22 minutes tonight was better than the 15 he gave us last night. Not that that would, you know, be too hard to do, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And you had brought up Billy. And I'd like to get into some comments that he made today, but I'm going to run down the starters' box scores real quick before I do that. 10 for 16 from Zach, 6 for 8 from the field. Incredibly efficient night for Zach LaVine. He goes 4 for 4 from the line. Should have had more opportunities at the line. I don't know if you'll agree with me there. I try not to do that where I call for fouls constantly, but I mean, my God, dude. You know, something's got to be.
Zach could have tech in the first, or was that the second?
That was the second. He got a tech at the end. He got a tech, I believe, in the first.
Wait, I thought he was going to pick up a couple.
Yeah, well, it looked like he was. He was complaining, and Zach's not really like that. He's been a little bit more vocal on the court this year, but I wouldn't say he's a guy that's constantly bitching, but my God, dude.
He's two games back, or at least since he's got the All-Star nod. It's like, dude, what the fuck else do I have to do? I'm a slam dunk champion. I'm clearly a good finisher. I'm one of the most athletic guys in the league. I'm one of the best scorers in the fucking league. I'm now an All-Star. I'm the face of this team. It's the fucking Chicago Bulls. It's not the Minnesota Timberwolves or, you know, like, what more do I have to do to buy a call?
Do you remember how I said earlier in the season, we like laughed it off because I jumbled my words when I said it, but like, I felt like I was watching like 2010, 2011 Derrick Rose, and not, by the way, like it's just with the foul calls. You know what I'm saying? Like how Rose would get into the paint and he'd bounce around like a pinball. And we're like, what the fuck, dude? Like get him to the line. Like if you earn it, like I get it. You're putting yourself at risk getting into the paint, right? We know that. You're getting the hard basket, especially going up, you know, when you're going up against the interior defense. But I don't fully understand why he's not getting that luxury. And it's been like that. And even I admittedly, I did think that after the All-Star nod that maybe we'd see him get there a little bit more if he, you know, put himself in there and really got that contact and tried to finish. You know, I understand forcing it. You're not going to get it constantly. I respect that, but something's got to give a little bit.
Kind of the issue though, is there's guys all around the league forcing it and getting rewarded for it. He's not even forcing it. He's genuinely driving to the hole and just getting slapped on the arms all the time and nothing. So at a certain point, a top 10 scorer in the league that's also an All-Star in the face of a franchise has to get some of these luxuries. And, you know, to, I guess, the referee's credit tonight, they did just let them play a lot. This was a scrappy
random.
They let the Heat play their game in the Bulls for a little bit until that fourth quarter when we got dragged.
He's still mad about getting dunked on in Phoenix all those years ago.
Obviously, I mean, as we're getting our ass kicked, Stacey was talking about that plenty too. I guess it was just Dragan's revenge. And we got torched in that fourth by him. Kobe couldn't stop him. I think Thad was on him a couple. There was not a single player on our team that was stopping Goran Dragic. He pulled up from like 30 feet at one point. He missed, but I've never seen Goran Dragic shoot from that far. So that was kind of interesting. They were up 14 at the time. But Bulls just could not get anything going in the first or the fourth. Middle, we hung in. We made it a scrappy battle, but.
Yeah, and when Kobe's obviously not the greatest defender, he still makes a lot of mistakes. But when his offensive shot isn't falling, dude, it's bad. I mean, it's just bad. I will say he did take care of the ball tonight. 5 assists, no turnovers for Kobe, 8 points, 2 steals, and then
he only had 8 points. I didn't realize he struggled.
Yeah, he went 3 for 13 from the field there, 2 for 8 from downtown. Zach, again, we kind of touched on his. He had 36 and 6 tonight. Wendell, we talked about his 4 points. P. Will only had 3 points. Lowry, 20 points, 6 boards. Thad, off the bench, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block.
Tato only got 16 minutes. Otto Porter, 12. I mean, Otto's looked like shit in these two games.
Otto, 16 minutes. Otto Porter Jr., 12 minutes, no points. 4 boards, 2 assists. Denzel, 6 rebounds in 17 minutes. And it was funny because he was the one getting some crucial boards when we needed it there in the first half. And he was just kind of playing a little bit scrappy, which was kind of funny because I don't want to say I always think of him as a finesse player because that OMG shit that we got going on with him. But,
I'd never expect Denzel Valentine to out rebound his scoring total. That's not something I'd expect from Valentine. So as much as I wouldn't like to see that, I'd like to see more than 5 points in there as well with all the jump passes that he had for horrible possessions or turnovers in this game. I would have liked to see some more points, but the 7 rebounds in 17 minutes for a team that seemingly struggles to rebound quite often is encouraging. We're going to need rebounding by committee, especially if Wendell Carter is going to play 20 minutes or less per game.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Now, getting into Billy Donovan here, you brought him up when we were talking earlier. He had some comments today that a lot of Bulls fans really liked, and I probably should touch on this, but you know, he was asked about the trade deadline coming up. And he said that Arturas has been taking calls. And he trusts Arturas and what, yeah, well, you know, the way people are kind of shaping it, whether that be just fans like you and I on Twitter, people that cover the team, like our buddy Joe or Mike McGraw or those guys, is that by him saying how he said it's more of a wake-up call to the guys that are here. Like, listen.
Oh, I know. That
nothing's guaranteed.
Part of why they're struggling, though. I think that
way. Do you think that could play into it?
Oh, definitely, dude. There's less than 2 weeks. You just had a whole week to sit on All-Star weekend, which is why a lot of people have argued to have the trade deadline moved ahead of the All-Star weekend. You know, you sit there for a week on a vacation, you're going, all right, I got to come back to this team. I got 2 weeks and I could be moving town. These next 2 weeks are crucial for me. Whether I could play really good and increase my value and screw myself and get shipped out, I could play horrible and they no longer see me and they ship me out for pennies just to get something. Like, this has got to be the most stressful time of the year for a basketball player, especially on a team like the Bulls, who didn't really pick a direction this offseason and is now kind of on the clock. Obviously, they're going to have most of their flexibility to do shit this offseason, but some of these guys, it's, you know, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, that's basically a really good way to put it. It's just I would think that they try to play a lot harder. And that's even for like a guy like Otto, or, you know, a guy like Sato, who I like Sato. I think he does pretty well for the most part when he gets the opportunity to get into a rhythm. But you know,
we have a system that rewards guys like Otto. Otto's sitting there watching Blake Griffin get bought out and get to go to the Brooklyn Nets on a minimum contract after getting paid over $20 million just to leave. So I'm going to pay you your contract up front. You're going to collect another minimum contract from another team, and you get to go play for a championship. So I think his motivation level is just very low to play for this team. And I know a lot of people criticized me on Twitter for my speculation on Otto, but why are teams inquiring about a buyout? They don't want to buy out an injured player. Why would the Bulls buy out Otto even if he was injured? He's one of the better players on their team. You look at this roster, he makes the money he makes because he's a good basketball player. Even if he's overpaid, he's still a good player when he's available. Unfortunately for the Bulls, it just hasn't been a thing.
And not to mention, too, I mean, whether it's mental or not, you can't get into a good rhythm when you miss as much time as Otto Porter Jr. has. It's just, you can't get into a rhythm out there, man, especially on a team like you pointed out a couple seconds ago that's trying to find rotations that work. You know, you can't find a rhythm.
He's playing power forward more times than not this year, too. He's not really a small forward anymore.
I'm very interested just in general, because Otto Porter's skill set is a skill set that I do like. And I think we both be lying if we said it's not a good skill set to have. I'm very interested to see what happens in the future with him coming off of his max contract that he got with, you know, Washington and all that, and to see what his next steps are.
Well, the Bulls' best stretch of basketball with both Zach and Lowry healthy came right after they acquired Otto.
I guess I'm more so just a surprised goose that, not surprised, because I don't want to, I'm not pinning this on Billy. I'm not going to do that.
You can put up Billy.
Right. It's just, I'm surprised that I feel like we're having a conversation that we would have had last season with the effort kind of thing right now. And the miscommunications on the offensive and the defensive end. And where in the first part of the season, when we were doing these recaps, I felt like they were a little bit few and far in between, even though we were a couple games under 500, you know, like, I just feel like it's kind of that same, like, you know, you fall on old habits sometimes. And I feel like we're kind of seeing that now, whether it's mental with the trade deadline coming up, whether it's, I mean, just a ton of rust after this All-Star break we just had. I don't know, but it's just surprising.
Actually being a good team, or considered a team that, you know, teams might actually take seriously every night.
Right.
These are all new things. So, yeah.
It's just such a roller coaster to me. Like, the ups and downs that we're experiencing. And I knew that was going to happen with the young team and with a new regime. It's just, again, seeing how they performed in the first part of the season compared to how they're kind of playing now, it just doesn't sit well, you know?
No, it's like they got Zach LaVine into the All-Star game and they said, all right, mission accomplished. We're good here. We're done for the season.
Right.
And that's not at all the case. That's a individual accomplishment for Zach, who can't carry you. We saw it tonight. 30 points, 6-6. Extremely efficient scoring night, and that's not going to get it done, even in an extremely low-scoring game. He had a third of our points. Holy shit. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, we had 90 points. He had 30 of them. You know, I mean, with the Bulls' offensive rating through the first half of the season, just seeing how they struggled offensively. And, you know, and Stacey touched on it last night, and so did we a little bit with, you know, Lowry trying to figure out his game with Zach and, you know, who should cook and when and this and that and the other. It's just such a strange way to watch it unfold.
And it really shouldn't be that difficult because Lowry cannot create for himself. So every single game, it should start with Zach getting himself going. And then his defenses collapse on him and Lowry's out on the perimeter. You're going to find him. And that's
what do you think about this real quick? Lowry a couple times was put into a situation that would help him succeed in mismatch situations off of switches in the first half, right? And he gets a smaller defender on him. And then he just books off towards the perimeter. I mean, is that an IQ thing or is he playing where he's comfortable? Is he still hurt? Because I used to feel like he would try to take a little guy.
You're talking about the transition play where he had Dragic shoot the three and he had him on the post. And he stayed there for about 2 seconds. And instead of forcing the issue, he ran to his corner.
Yeah, there was a couple times that happened with him because he had, if you remember, in the middle of the second, he had none in a situation like that.
I think you're talking about Wendell. Wendell had
no. There was a situation. I'll watch it back, but there was a situation where I believe he had none on him for a minute, and this was in transition. He had a smaller guy on him, but he went and broke off, and they were able to make the switch where Olynyk went to Lowry. I mean, there was a couple different circumstances.
Do you think that's just transition breaking down and the Bulls bringing it out and starting the play? Because the corner that he ran to, Billy's right there. So I can't.
Right.
I don't know. If I'm Billy, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
well, right. I kind of feel the same way. It's like, dude, take advantage of break the fuck. If there's a play that you're having set in transition, like, recognize the mismatch and be like, hey, guess what? I'm blowing this shit up. We're going to get into another set if this doesn't work. Give me the ball. Let me try to bang away here for a moment. You know,
no, and we do have zero post presence between Lowry and Wendell. That's the only one that's like willing to go down there.
Yeah. It's a lot of that and a lot of taking care of the ball. Those are the things that need to happen for this team. And if they're going to keep turning the ball over, I don't care how good they look. They're not going to win fucking ball games. I mean, that's it, dude. 16 total turnovers for the Bulls again tonight. 16.
So that's over 30 turnovers in the last two games.
It's absolutely asinine. That's, dude. And they hit fucking 15 threes again. You see what I'm saying? They were hitting threes, but
What was the rebound total?
Rebound total tonight, the Bulls won the battle, 49-41.
So we're shooting well. We're out rebounding teams. We're just killing ourselves with probably points off of turnovers.
Well, right. We were out rebounded last night, but if you remember, we were out shot by 20 times last night as well against Philadelphia. But we're hitting more threes. We're out rebounding. 25 assists for the Bulls again. It's the fucking turnovers. And that's an issue. And we're letting up a ton of points in the paint. 101 points for Miami tonight. 46 of them, Goose, in the paint.
And that's with Kelly Olynyk you had Silva too, but Kelly Olynyk being the primary big that played tonight. And he's mainly a perimeter big.
Yeah. They got to clean it up. You got anything else on this game before we get into the next?
No, I mean, I guess the one topic I would ask you is I'm kind of at the point where I think AK has to trade one of Thad or Lowry. I think it has to be one of the two. I think if you are intent on giving Lowry a contract and matching offers this offseason, getting a positive asset for Thad and having that extra cap, Thad makes $14 million next year. I think that's a decision you have to make if this team keeps trending down.
There's a lot of people that think that decision should have been made even when they were winning. And they had, let's be honest, they weren't really winning at a consistent clip. They were below 500. You know, they were getting there. They're creeping back up. You know,
we were beating bad teams. And I have to applaud Billy for that too. Is he almost seemed like taken back in his interview on 670 with Mully and Haw. Like,
which was fantastic, by the way.
Yes, it was fantastic. But he's getting all this praise and he's like, guys, we're still under 500. Like, this is my worst season coaching as a basketball coach, and you guys are excited about it. I get what you're coming out of and the optimism and the clear visual improvements that we're seeing individually and somewhat as a team, but we're still under 500. This job is like just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I hate when, you know, like I hate to be like, oh yeah, just trade everybody, you know, you lose two in a row coming out the break and all that stuff. But dude, I mean, listen, it's getting to a point now where I'm sure AK, Mark Eversley, and Billy are being like, okay, this is a guy that I want to stay here. This is a guy I don't want to stay here. This is a guy that I think we could build around that can help this team, you know, down up and down the list. It's something that they could be looking at together. And maybe that's why those comments kind of came out, or not kind of came out. I mean, they blatantly said it, you know, like AK's taking calls. So this is what it is. This is what's happening, you know, and I understand. I respect that. You know, I don't know if
like
you
got a bachelor rose ceremony these next 2 weeks, have your bags packed at all times, have your family ready.
Right. I mean,
getting on a plane.
You're 100% right. It's the fucking, it's the Bulls bachelor series right now, you know,
series right now,
you know, but again, it's just, I said it when we went on with Fred to the Knights of the Round Ball table. You know, I said it then, I'll say it now. If you're offering me an unprotected first for Thad Young, I'm probably taking that deal because I'm looking at when we're competitive. Now, I did agree with Fred, and I will still keep the same energy that making the playoffs is good for development as well. It is. I really do think it is, especially for a guy like Zach LaVine who tries so fucking hard. Like,
That's also got to be a realistic goal. And when you look at our record against good teams and you look at how many good teams we have in the second half of this schedule, and this is the effort and this is what you're getting out of the break, you're almost forcing their hand to make decisions that are aimed more towards being in the lottery than making a playoff push. But we've seen it before. We traded Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott for Cameron Payne, and we ended up going on a run with that three alphas team and sneaking into the playoffs. So sometimes a change in itself can spark that thing in a team, and maybe they look to make some kind of move just to say, hey, you know, you're not safe. We might have committed to you this offseason to get to know you and make sure we weren't making mistakes, but now we know who you are.
Right.
Nothing left to hide.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting heading into heading in these next couple weeks here and how the Bulls perform. Before we get into the next game, bringing you a ad read from our sponsor, Manscaped. COVID spring break is right around the corner. Keep the boys fresh. You know what you have to do. You have to go to manscaped.com, use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the most essential lawnmower 3.0 cordless body trimmer. You get this travel bag, two free gifts, ball deodorant, ball toner, the whole nine. Make sure you go to manscaped.com, go get your kit, use promo code ONTAP, and have it ordered to your house because I have Goose's here still in a box and I just haven't shipped it yet because I'm lazy. So he is a little bit nervous for spring break right now because he'd be popping out of his Speedo, man, with pubes and shit. So you gotta be careful.
Hey, man, don't hit on the banana hammock.
You got a little fucking Benny the Bull banana hammock.
I am very curious what this ball toner is, though. That sounds very interesting.
The ball toner is for when you know you trim your boys, man. Then you hit it with a little spray toner there to just kind of secure it, man. So I mean, if you want to know all about that, you got to go to manscaped.com, promo code ONTAP. That is promo code ONTAP, 20% off, free shipping on all your manscaping needs. And read done. We did a good job. All right. Going to Sunday's game, which son of a bitch. I hate these 8 o'clock starts at the United Center. I don't care. I hate it. I fucking hate the 8 o'clock starts at the United Center. But we're playing the Toronto Raptors, 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, which means I can't drink Sunday because then I'm going to fall asleep by the time this game's over because I got to get up super early for work. So we're playing Toronto, you know, who's kind of in a identity crisis themselves right now. You know,
They still got the remnants of a championship team.
I'm not taking that away from them, but there have been rumors of moving on from Lowry and you know, shit like that. So they have a good squad over there. You know, there's no doubt about it. They have a good squad over there. But their injury report don't look very good, my friend. Siakam out. Van Vliet out. OG out. You know.
All right, so we're trying to be gifted a win again. If we do not snatch this shit, everybody better have their bachelor bags packed because it's over.
Right. I mean, it's going to be a... it looks like it's going to be another game against a shorthanded team that needs some help here. And I'm really curious to see how Billy gets these guys ready. I mean, I feel like we kind of had that same conversation last night after the Bulls played the Sixers. I'm curious to see what happens here with this. I mean, the Bulls are coming again at full strength. They're coming up against Toronto, who's not at full strength. And they're in desperate need of a win if they want to keep competing.
The only player that wasn't active again tonight was Devin Dotson, correct? Because he hurt his ankle?
Yep.
Temple was questionable, but he played. He has an ankle issue too, so he might not be available. But other than that, these were the first two games we've had a full healthy roster, and they're arguably two of the most embarrassing games we've had all year. So you can't even use that as an excuse when you get a healthy roster and you don't take advantage of it.
Yeah, the matchup predictor at home with all these guys out is Toronto with a 68.9% chance to win this game, according to the ESPN matchup predictor.
So you're suckering me into betting money on the Bulls, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to do it too because I'm a fucking homer meatball idiot. So I'm going to do it too. But, you know, I don't know, man. They got to come out. You know, they got to learn how to start taking care of that ball. That's the first thing. We could talk about getting in your offensive sets. We could talk about trying to, you know, people shooting efficiently. You turn the fucking ball over, you're going to lose the game.
Well, you start the first quarter off with 7 turnovers. You're digging yourself a hole you can't get out of, and you've started some habits you're not going to break by the end of the game. So
yeah, 100%. 100%. And they need to start taking care of that ball. 5 turnovers for Zach tonight, man. That's just, it can't happen. I mean, and he gets trapped a lot. And I understand, but he does make some weird decisions too, just because I feel like he wants to make that pass, but the turnovers need to stop. It's on every single player on that court. You know, it's literally on every one of them. You know, like you said, what was it? 30 turnovers in 2 games. That's on everybody. That's on everybody. Yeah. That's literally on everybody. So that's all I have for this episode, man. You got anything?
No, let's try to steal a W against a shorthanded team. Otherwise, it's going to get real ugly real quick.
Right, absolutely. Everybody, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bulls Scripted, me at Buzz on Tap. We'll be back Sunday night after the Bulls play the Raptors. Let's go, Bulls.